Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Most High Show. I'm your host, Christian. Some people might call me Reverend Christian. Some people might call me Dad. I got my son right here running the live stream for me. Get your head in there. Get your fingers in there. Throw the peace sign. Today's topic is pour me another drink. And if you guessed it, it's about self-pity. Pour me another drink. So if you think about self-pity, there's a reason why we go to this emotion. And do we need to back up? Do we need to explain self-pity? You know, my research for this podcast, I was looking online and I actually found an interesting video on YouTube about the value of self-pity and how we learn self-pity at a young age. And there's a concept in the 12 steps out of the 12 and 12 where it talks about these kind of natural instincts that we have that go awry. Like a natural desire for connection and intimacy might turn into a codependency or a concept that you're not whole unless you're connected to somebody else. You know, a desire to be connected is often correlated to what creates the desire to use and get high. And there's a lot to these natural desires we have to eat, to drink, to sleep. And when these desires get out of whack, when they take over too much of our lives, what's that song? Too much of anything makes you an addict. No static, got an automatic. So this concept of a natural emotion, this self-pity, it's a natural coping mechanism to life. It says, you know, maybe mommy and daddy at an early age didn't give you the pick you up like you wanted to be picked up, or give you your baba like you wanted your baba. What do we used to call it? The binky. Didn't give you the binky when you wanted the binky, a little pacifier. So we learn to cope by feeling sorry for ourselves, and that's a healthy, natural human emotion. But for those of us who are alcoholics and addicts, those of us who have chose to live a spiritual life now and put those ways behind us, self-pity is a pathway to relapse, to not being emotionally sober, to being restless, irritable, and discontent. Real quick, if you are in recovery, then you already know what I'm talking about when I talk about pour me a drink. Self-pity leads us to isolation. It leads us to separation from God, from self, and others. And I asked some questions to some of my peoples. And some of the response, and the question I asked was, what do you think we get out of self-pity as an alcoholic and an addict? What do you think it is that we get from it? Because we got to be getting something from it on some level to return to this self-pity or victim mind state. And I know for me, what I get is I get escape from my responsibilities. That's a big thing for me. I get to be in this self-pity, wallowing in the muck and the mire. I'm not good enough. I'm never gonna be. This isn't gonna work. And so when I do that, I get to escape from the very things that I need to do today to keep inching forward to the goals, aspirations, and dreams that have been placed in my heart and mind. I think the other thing that we get from it is the ability to avoid ourselves. Because the gift and the curse is you are the problem and you are the solution. With me being the problem and the solution, it means that I can actually do something about a lot of things in my life. And when I begin to take ownership of my life, I begin to realize that there are more things that I can change. Because in most cases, the thing that needs to change is me. I need to change. But when I'm in this self-pity, I get to escape myself. I get to escape the responsibility of owning my part in an argument or in a disagreement or in a conflict with somebody. That avoidance allows me to stay in my comfort zone. We got a comment? What do we got? Ooh, Brian says you're wishing for a different present by living in the past. That's good. That's really good. Thank you for that, Brian. That's true. Because that is what we're doing. We're wishing for a different past, really, right? Like, how ridiculous is that? Yet that is exactly what we're doing. We're wishing that the past would be different. And in that, we're not present in the moment to see what it is, the courage to change the things we can. I think also self-pity, my sponsor said, self-pity justifies our actions. It's giving me permission to do what I really want to do. And what I really want to do is act selfishly, act more stupidly, act more foolishly, be more self-centered, worry about myself, get what I want. What do I want? What do I want out of a situation? And self-pity is this doorway that gives me the permission to act that way. It justifies my actions. Was talking to a fellow addict the other day, and they're in that phase of struggling with they still want to get high, yet part of them still wants to be sober, and they can't get sober and they can't get high, and it's living hell. And a little bit of that victim mentality, that self-pity, is playing in their psyche. And as much as I would love to just pull the veil from their eyes, there's little I can do in that other than just be there. So I think that there's a process for me and for us in recovery. And here's the thing, and the 12 and 12 talks about this too. And I'm going to say it like this. You may be a victim. Legitimately acknowledge it, then move on. That's the gift we have in recovery. Each day that we don't turn to a drug, we don't turn to a drink, each day that we choose to live a spiritual life, we have the ability to move on from our victim mindset, even though we legitimately may be a victim. Like, what do we say? We say that justifiable anger is, that's not a thing we can afford. Pour me a drink. We become self-focused. And when I'm feeling sorry for myself, I've brought myself back to the center of the universe. What an illusion of confusion. What a pitiful pitfall. What a tantalizing trip. I'm falling back into this me, I, me. Pour me a drink. You know, a big thing about this, you can't be in a place of self-pity when you're in action. Well, I guess you can be. But they're conflicting, those two things. Because when you're in action, when you're in motion, when you're doing the next right thing, even though your mind state, your emotional state might be in this place of self-pity, you're not living in it. You're not existing in it. You're fighting. You're battling against it. You're moving forward to do whatever the next right thing is, whatever it is yours to do today. Get out of your head. You ever do that? You ever just take a thought, throw that mug in a microwave, hit 12 minutes, and just hit start, beep, and let that thought cook, and cook, and cook, and cook. And you might get around some people. You're like, I can't wait for this to be over. I can't wait for this meeting to be over so I can go back and cook this thought, cook the thought. You ever do that? You don't do that. Because you a young, healthy man, E-man. But those of us who are living this life of recovery, who have had the gift of being addicted, have the gift of self-awareness and to know when we're cooking the thought. You know, our thoughts turn into a belief, and the belief turns into an action. And for some of us, self-pity can lead us right back to the bottle, right back to our drug of choice, whatever that is, anger, sex, cocaine, a little brown, a little mellow you down. That's all I need. Just need to escape. So the beginning of the battle is in the thought, in your head. That's where it begins. So if you never jump on that train, you don't get to the belief, you don't get to the emotion, and you don't get to the action. And that's the trick, right? Because self-pity is pulling me out of my present moment. It's like Brian said, it's making me wish I had a different present by living in the past. It's making me, like my sponsor said, wish that I had a different past, and so I'm not in the present moment. And so that thought seems like a good ride into oblivion. Eventually, these thoughts turn to beliefs, they turn to emotions, and it turns to action. That's why self-pity is so damaging. Pour me a drink. Yeah. For me, there's a lack of faith. Oh, what happened? There's a lack of connection to God. Good looking out, E-man. There's a lack of faith. There's a lack of connection to God. That's what's creating the ability to even get self-pity in to start. You want to check that other camera, E-Man. Let's see what happened to it. E-Man, check that other camera. It's the one to the right. Get the camera go out. Ah, pour me. Pour me another drink. No, my right. This one. Yeah. That's the one. So there's a lack of faith. There's a lack of connection to God. Because let me tell you the truth. If I, huh? You think the battery's dead? All right, let's switch the battery out. All right, batteries are in the other room. It's lack of faith. It's lack of connection to God. Tells me that I need to take care of myself. And things aren't going my way. And it's not going to eventually work out. And so I become full of self-pity. It's in the other room in the garage. Yeah. Oh, he found one right there. I'm going to tell you what, it's a gift to have my man, E-Man, running the switcher here for me tonight. You know, like, what I don't like is the anecdotal solution. And don't get me wrong. What I'm finna say, I know works, okay? But I know it's anecdotal. I know it's like, oh, just write a gratitude list. And I know that just doing that action does produce results. Okay, so I ain't trying to say don't. But I am trying to say I get it. When that just seems like the last thing on the list. So maybe the first thing is to acknowledge. Let's see if it works. I'm going to go back to it. Oh, snap. My man got it back up. Yeah. That's something that's been a gift for me recently, is acknowledging my thoughts, seeing them as they are, and also acknowledging that they're just thoughts, and that I have the choice and the power. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't mention my guru. My guru, Jesus mi Cristo. You know, if you look at, just set aside, you know, what your pre-ideas are about this guy Jesus, all right? Just for a second, let's just think about it like a story, okay? Let's just think about it like a story. Here is this guy that rolled deep with his posse for 3 years, running the streets of Israel and Jerusalem, up and down them streets, doing wild stuff, healing people, throwing fish fries, kicking it, doing their thing. And then he gets arrested. And everyone's like, oh snap, we out. And they dip. Because this arrest leads to a conviction, and this conviction leads to a death. And they've been rolling with their boy, but this whole death thing, they're not there yet. And so, while this man sits, is nailed to a cross, you know, there's several accounts of him, of this thing that happened. And it says that he says, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. All right. Then 3 days later, your boy Jesus, he's back on the scene. He's back on the scene with his boys. And he says, do you have anything to eat? He don't say, you remember like 3 days ago when I was up there and y'all left me? That's messed up, dude. You know, you got to make that right. You know, you need to atone for that. You need to repent. He doesn't throw it back to them. And in the story of Christ, it was a legitimate wrongful conviction, legitimate wrongful death. a victim. Jesus teaches, my guru teaches me how to have victory over a victim mindset. Get on with it. Keep it moving. One day at a time. I think another thing for self-pity is we're chasing after attention. My boy Dylan dropped that gem on me when I asked him what he thought. My boy Dylan came back with that fire. Praka. He said, man, it's like we're chasing after attention. Lacking peace, lacking purpose. It's a shortcut. Again, it leads to this lack of faith, a lack of constant conscious contact to that which is. You know, expectations can lead to self-pity. If I have an expectation of something or someone or a certain situation panning out, and I'll find myself doing that as I'm about to pull into the driveway, into the house, or walk into a situation, in my mind I'm playing out the next few moments. And if I'm not mindful of that scenario in my mind playing out, if I'm not mindful that I'm setting myself up with an expectation, it may play out, but it may not. And I may walk into the house and the trumpets don't sound, and the confetti isn't popped. You know what I mean? And the sparkling cider isn't cracked open. Boom. Daddy's home. And everybody's rejoicing, singing the praises of Papa CJ who just walked in the door. And my expectation of this reality isn't met, I'll find myself falling into self-pity. Pour me another drink. Let me get a swig of that ego. Let me get a little swig of that self-pity. Let me get a swig of that self-righteousness. Let me get a swig of that justified anger. Let me get a little hit of that justified anger. Boom. Oh, that's a nice beat. Yeah. Let me just get a little song. Let me hold that for a second. Let me hold that self-pity. Man, that's dangerous. So now acknowledging it, I'm seeing this thought process begin to play out, and I say, I don't know what's going to happen when I walk into this house. Man, who knows what is? Let me just be here now. That's a dope beat. Be here now. Yeah. So not falling for the traps. These traps that I can fall in will lead me into a mindset of self-pity. This is a big thing for me. I'm not talking this shit just cuz. I'm talking this because this is my thing. This is my crutch. E-man, what you got to say? You got something? You raising your hand. We got some comments. A little swig. Let me see a little sip of that undying attention, my man. Yeah. I just need a little something. Just hold me over. Yeah. What's our runtime right now? Can you see it? Huh? All right. Well, look it. Pay attention to your thoughts. Don't let yourself be taken away by them. They're just thoughts. And you may be justifiably a victim in the situation. your little old wife might be the devil incarnate and treating you unjustifiably wrong and not listening to you, honoring you, and respecting you and loving you like you should be loved. But we can't afford self-pity. We can't afford to put on any mantle other than here and now. Love everybody. Tell the truth. So I'll be remiss if I don't mention that Most High Media is doing a fundraiser, trying to raise some funds. You know, all this stuff costs equipment, traveling, filming, podcasting. Not just costs money for the equipment, it costs time. And that's a lot of work. So we're doing it. Talk about self-pity, man. I could fall into that with this thing too, you know? Ooh. No one recognizes me and the work I do. Man. So let me just be bold in saying that we are doing a fundraiser. Giving Tuesday is December 1st. And we're trying to raise a significant amount of money. Because this is a lot of work. And we want to do this right. We want to step it up. We want to be more effective. We want to reach more people. You know, some of the stories that are told on our podcast, some of the connections that we've had through Instagram, through social media, where we interview these people from all over the place. Some powerful stuff. Because this is real. This is real people who have found a way of life. They're actually enjoying life. Imagine that. They're actually happy, joyous, and free. Imagine that. They hit that button on that microwave and cancel. And I'm always blown away by the stories. So, you know, I believe in it. I know that there's power in these stories. And we can keep pushing till we can't. But let me just be real. You know, we're getting close, player. And we need help. We need support. We need financial support. We do this because we love it. We do this because we know it helps. We fill a gap. We fill a need that most people aren't filling. And if you believe in that, if you believe in me, then drop some feria. Holla at your boy. Kick down a little something. Because it's going to something good. It's going to a good cause. We see the change. Yeah. Be here now. Tell the truth. Love one another. Love everybody. Or even that guy. Yeah. Even myself. Yeah. Love everybody. Tell the truth. Be here now. This is the Most High Show.